Hello, everyone. This is Ryan, and welcome to High Tech on Life. And welcome to part two of Tesla Week. This whole week is to celebrate the Model 3 finally coming to the market. And Tesla did this last Saturday, I believe. They rolled the first one off the line. And so I figured, let's do a Tesla week. Yesterday, we discussed a little bit of the history of the company, where they came from, and also where they are heading. We went through their product line, kind of give you an overview of each of them, and then where they might be heading in the future. And today, in part two, we're going to go a little more in depth on each of the Tesla Motors models, because that's really what started this whole thing. Was the creators, the founders of Tesla, wanted to commercialize the electric vehicle. They took something they believed in an electric car, and decided that there's a better way to do this. There's a better way than just one-off conversions or weird contraptions of a car. We see all the time, if you follow cars at all, you see one of the most kind of cringe-worthy electric vehicles in Britain is the G-Wiz. And I think it's in Europe. I'm not sure about that, but I think in Europe it's called the G-Wiz. It's a little guy, fits like one person and you can, or two people, and then you can get around for like 40 miles. It's like a city car. You know, it's a small city car that we don't use in the U.S. because it's just not practical here. So they looked at electric cars up to that point and decided this could be done so much better. And we want to make cars that people would actually buy, that people are ecstatic to buy. They want to. They need that car in their life. And to be honest, they have accomplished it. Starting with the Model S and the demand for that and the hype around that and the successful delivery. I mean, it may have had a couple little things here and there, but nothing crazy. Like, I think it was a pretty smooth rollout when that thing came out a couple of years ago. If anything, it was a commercial success for the Model S. I mean, there are other companies who are putting out electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles, and they have moderate success, but not as big a hype. And even if the Model S numbers don't match those of other car companies, more established car companies, they still have put out that need, that want, that hype over the car that only really Apple has been able to harness in people. And how Apple creates a product that people don't know they need until they see it. And that's pretty much what Tesla has done with the Model S. So let's take a look back at where they started. And I kind of alluded to this yesterday. If you haven't listened to yesterday's podcast, go back and listen. Everything is free. You can download it to your device. You can subscribe and stream for free. I don't charge you guys for anything. So go back and listen to past episodes, especially the one yesterday. Kind of gives you the base of what Tesla is. So let's go on from what was their first delivery to the market. And for those of you who don't know, it was the Tesla Roadster. And this car, from what I believe, was a way for them to show the world that there can be a car. There could be an enticing vehicle that is electric. We've seen many other things since then. Other major manufacturers have put out fully electric vehicles that look really good. Like, I think Mercedes did it with their SLS. They made a couple of cool cars that were electric, but I think they were more kind of the same thing as the Roadster. They were a demonstration vehicle. They were like, hey, look, this is what we can do. We'll sell a few of them, but that's as much as there's going to be. No more. It's just, hey, look what we could probably do in the future. But Tesla was very much, from the beginning, this is what we can do. And in the future, there will be an electric car that is affordable to you and affordable to the masses. And it all started with the Roadster. Now, to us in the U.S., it's a funny-looking car. It looks, I mean, it looks really good, but it's different. You rarely see it on the road here, and that's because it's modeled after a British car company, Lotus. And it's modeled after the Elise. So if you've ever wondered what an Elise looks like, just look at a Tesla Roadster. That's it. And as I explained in yesterday's podcast, they had signed a deal with Lotus to produce basically a bare-bone car, a bare-bone shell that had everything but the drivetrain and everything but the powertrain. So they were manufacturing these for Lotus to, I don't know if that was bringing in extra money for them. I assume it would be because they're manufacturing these for Lotus, or possibly it was a trade-off to use the design of their car. So anyways, they get the design of the car from Lotus. It's based off the Elise. I think I said the Exige yesterday. Kind of a mixture of both. I think it takes more after the Elise than the Exige, but anyways, it's a Lotus body style. So as they create this, it ends up being a pretty cool car. There is some issues with it, as all first kind of new things are when you're building new tech and you're experimenting and doing the R&D, there's going to be issues. And one of the things that I remember from seeing the Tesla Roadster is when it was reviewed, and a lot of people aren't going to like this, it was reviewed by Top Gear, an automotive show that's based in the UK. And back then, I think it was 2008, is when the review was done. And that was right when the car had been completed and they were just rolling it out. And there's a lot of one-off manufacturers that would go to Top Gear. If you're not a fan of the show, basically it's kind of an entertainment show. That's what it is. And they review cars and they review all these exotic cars and they basically goof around the whole time. It's fun to watch. There is some thematic elements to it, some staged elements to it that just make it more fun. And yeah, you could tell they're staged. I mean, who can't? But in this case, and being a fan of the show, you can call me a little biased. Because the whole premise of it got an okay review. Like at the beginning of the review, it was very much positive stuff on it. Very, you know, very cool, futuristic, something that, you know, an actual, like a car enthusiast would want to buy. So the review was positive up until the car broke down. And as they were averaging it out on their track, they said that their calculations gave them a distance of about 50 miles on the battery, where Tesla was saying 200 on the one charge. And that's debatable, sure. I don't know why they would skew those numbers other than, you know, I think the presenters on that show have a little bit of a skewed opinion towards, they have a skewed opinion towards gas-powered cars. They like gas-powered cars. But honestly, I think some of them are open. All that Jeremy Clarkson did was point out a few of the hurdles that Tesla would have to overcome in order to make the cars that they're making today, in order to make it bring it to the commercial market and produce it for the masses. I mean, the biggest thing was, yes, they did have the mileage issue, which the batteries, they said that no matter how fast you drive it, it's going to go 200 miles on a charge. I personally don't believe that, just because if you run anything with batteries harder than it's meant to go, the batteries are going to run out quicker. It's just how it is. And I don't think they should have taken it that way. I mean, it's not a huge shock to anybody that that's what would happen. And they always drive cars like crazy on their track. So I never saw an issue with that specific point. The other one was how long it takes to charge. In that review, Clarkson specifically said that he was running it off of a basic wall outlet and that it would take 16 hours to charge. That is true. That is still true to this day, that it does take a long time to charge these cars off of a regular 110 outlet. Like a 10 amp outlet, it takes a while to charge. It's just how it is. That's why they've had to develop these superchargers. Otherwise, why would they even have to develop the supercharger if that fact wasn't true? So they take issue with that, and they end up, I think they ended up suing Top Gear. Tesla ended up suing Top Gear. Oh, the other thing that happened in the show was that the car broke down. And then they had a spare there, and that one broke down. And it's understandable. I don't know why this has to be, why this ended up being such a huge issue, because cars break down. It's, you know, it was right at the beginning of its production. Those kind of things are going to happen. Maybe they shouldn't have highlighted them as hard as they did on the show, but still, there were legitimate criticisms of electric cars at that time. This is 2008. Legitimate criticisms of electric cars. And it boggles my mind that someone who's as successful as Elon Musk couldn't take a little bit of constructive criticism. I mean, it's a dumb little motor show on BBC. BBC Two even, not even their main channel. And even though they got the bad review, or I wouldn't even call it a bad review, they got a little bit of criticism. That happens with almost every car that goes through that place. Even though they got that, look where they are today. Did it really affect them at all? I don't think so. I think that they, even with that review, they have gone above and beyond what their initial goals were. I don't know why they hinged it on that review for some reason. Big whoop. They still, the whole point of the Tesla Roadster is that it was a, like I've said, it was a way to show what they were going to do. They only sold 2,500 of them. It's not like this was a mass-produced car and it's going to make them bust. It's a small run of cars, a very unique car, cost a lot of money. I think it was like $100,000 for that thing, $90,000. No, I think it was more. I think it was over $100,000 for that thing. And they sold 2,500. And guess what? You got all the money you needed to go on and develop many more models and have commercial success around the world. Tesla Roadster, very cool car. I think it had some issues that were criticized, and I think Tesla should have taken that a little bit better instead of suing Top Gear, because we're so sue happy in the US that it just it makes me insane. It's not like they were hemorrhaging money and they needed to get their dignity in there. They needed some sort of big settlement because they were defamed or something like that. It was just ridiculous, in my opinion. But that's just me. And it ended up being a successful car because they were able to take that, what they learned from that, and develop it into the next model, which is the Model S. Now, the Model S was the big one. This is the one that they decided we are putting every bit of technology, everything that we have developed is going into this car, and it's going to be a sedan that people will want to buy and looks just like cars of today, and it'll be appealing to everyone. And it is. It is very appealing, honestly, to everybody. I think if anybody had a choice to buy one and it didn't cost them any money aside, they would buy one because it does make economic sense to do that. So here comes the Model S, and they start about $100,000, I think. Well, actually, I think you can get them for cheaper, but the ones that I've seen on their website that are available are about $100,000. And I believe they're spec'd out with a few different things, but they have a few different models, a few different offerings. And really, one of the biggest things, I mean, there's sensors all over this car. There's a massive iPad in front of you, basically. It's just a big touch screen that controls everything in the car. I haven't personally driven one, but I've seen road tests and I've seen the interior and how awesome it looks. I've seen them. Like I said, I was in Hong Kong a few weeks ago and they're everywhere there. I've seen a lot of them. And I think the world has embraced this. I think up until the end of 2016, they had sold 150,000 of them. So it came out in 2012, and by end of 2016, they had produced and sold 150,000 Model S's in various configurations and trim levels. There's a lot of new tech that goes into this. I mean, it's got an all-wheel drive version, rear-wheel drive version, their P100D, which has tons of power. I mean, 0 to 60 is like 2.6 seconds. That's faster than a Lambo. I mean, this is serious, serious stuff. And I think that was from the P100D. The P90D did it in like 2.8 seconds, and the 85 was like 3.2, 3.1 seconds. I mean, just amazing technology. And this was the step. This was the foray into, this is the kind of car that a normal person could purchase and live with on a daily basis. And, you know, it gives you a range of 250 miles, which is more than enough to get around for a few days, especially when you're commuting. Long trips, I mean, the more that the charging stations come about, yes, they could be used for long trips. I don't really see them as a grand touring car because of that limitation. I think in Europe, more than here, they've embraced the charging stations and they are more readily available to the public. They still take a little bit to do. It's a little, you know, they're obviously takes longer to charge a car than it does to fill it up with gas, which they need to get over that. And if they get over that little hurdle, then I think these cars will just take off. If you can, like I said yesterday, in yesterday's podcast, if they can solve the issue of filling up, recharging the battery in the same time or close to the same time as filling up your car, then we might as well go with this technology, right? But let's get back to the Model S. So after they debuted the Model S and they were selling a ton of them and they finally got around to releasing their next model, which is Model X. And the Model X is like a crossover type vehicle, an SUV-ish. I mean, it's not really an SUV. I think it's a little bit taller. It's a crossover. You guys know what a crossover looks like. It's SUV-ish, but sedan-ish as well. All-wheel drive. I guess I should mention across both cars, they have a front and rear, like they have an all-wheel drive version of the Model S, and then the Model X just comes as an all-wheel drive. I don't think it has just a rear-wheel drive because they're trying to be a crossover type thing. That's the kind of model that would do well in states like Utah and Colorado and Montana and these areas, and even up into the Dakotas and Minnesota where we need all-wheel drive during the winter. So even as the Model X is kind of their crossover, and kind of I think they market it as a crossover family car. So you can fit the whole family in it. You can fit adults in the back seat, in the third row seat. I know there's a few different people. There's some YouTube guys that own them. John Redinger from Techno Buffalo. I think he owns one, maybe leases it. I'm not sure on that. But interestingly enough, I was reading through an article and it said that they started about 75 grand. And that was for a lower model. That was for the 60D. And it wasn't quite as powerful. But if you want to do like the 90 or the 90D or the P90D, you're going to be spending upwards of 100 grand. And that is a lot of money. Unless you're Elon Musk or somebody like that, $100,000 is a lot of money. And it's tough to justify spending that much for one of these cars. I think they are totally worth it. I don't knock that price tag at all. I think it is totally worth that price for what you get out of these cars. And yes, you do get some incentives from the government, but what you get out of these cars, I think, is worth $100,000. The technology alone is worth that. As they were ramping up the production of the Model X, they decided to give us a little view. Just last year, in March of last year, they gave us a little sneak peek into what they have been working for all of these years. And as the Model S and the Model X have been, you know, commercial successes, I believe, especially in the electric car market, it allowed them to really bring the vehicle that they wanted to all these years to us consumers and make it affordable for us. So that's the Model 3. And that's why we're doing this whole Tesla week, is because it just rolled off the production line. The very first ones, and they're going to be delivered, I think, by the end of the year. And the fact that they start at 35 grand instead of even 78 or 70, what was it, 75 for the low version of the Model X, just astounds me that they're able to pack all that technology for that much money. And compared to the Model S, I actually think it's a good looking car. And I asked you a question yesterday. What, you know, if money wasn't an option, what car would you pick? Which one would you pick? For me, you're gonna love this one. I would actually go with the Model 3. And the main reason why is I'm not a flashy car type person. I have a pickup truck, right? I'm not a flashy person. And I look at this guy and it looks nice. It looks like a normal car that's not going to attract too much attention. And it'd just be a good driver, a good commuting car, a good family car. And it is a Tesla, so it's going to be nice. It's maybe not as fast, but it's going to be nice. And I hear that they're doing, I think, just the rear-wheel drive version, and then they'll have an all-wheel drive version later next year in 2018. And that's the one I'd be interested in. Right now, I have a truck that is rear-wheel drive only. And in the winter, I know, stupid, right? I'm an idiot, and I probably shouldn't have bought that version. But really, I just wanted a truck, and it was the only one I could afford. So I know what it's like to drive a rear-wheel drive car in the snow. It's not the funnest thing. You have to have some chains ready. So that's the one I would pick. It looks good. They all look really good. The Model S is by far the sportiest because that's what it's meant to be, right? It's meant to be the electric sports car. So that's what it is. The Model X looks big and bulky because it's meant to be a crossover. This one is supposed to be like a Civic or a Corolla or something. It's that level. And so it's supposed to look like that, right? Or even a Camry or an Accord. Like, it's supposed to be that level of design. It's not supposed to look sporty. It's supposed to look practical. And I think it does. And I like the styling on it. I'd love to sit in one, but, you know, not yet. Maybe someday. So that is the current lineup. From the Roadster is no longer with us yet, but the Model S, the Model X, and the Model 3 are all here. And I'm sure everybody's figured out by now what the S, the 3, and the X spell. You know, the 3 is a backwards E. Okay, you guys can put it together. So in addition to that, that kind of leads us into what they're doing in the future. And we've known about this for a while, but they're going to add a Y to the end of that word. And they're going to have a Model Y. And that is the one that will be kind of a cheaper crossover style electric car. So along the lines of your CRVs and your RAV4s, the lower end stuff from the Japanese manufacturers and the Korean manufacturers from Kia and those guys. So it'll go right up against those. And I'm guessing it'll probably start around 40,000. 45,000 for that guy, I'm hoping. So I can't wait to see what that one has to do. That one's going to be an interesting get to see how they take the Model X and make it a little bit smaller, or kind of combine the Model X with the Model 3. We'll see how they do that. There's two other ones that they're working on, two other models that they're working on. And one of them is an all-electric semi-truck. And it will be unveiled later this year. So I know that doesn't excite very many people, but I used to be in live production, live concert production. So I was around semi-trucks all the time. And so I am interested to see what this will do and what kind of truck it will actually be and how efficient it will be. Because we were getting, in our truck, we could easily get 1,000 miles out of that thing with how big the gas tanks are and actually how efficient the diesel motor was. We could easily get 1,000 plus miles out of it. even towing a big trailer, we could get 1,000 miles. So we'll see what actually happens with that. I hope that they get that at least to 1,000, maybe more. I would think you'd want to give these drivers the ability to drive as long as they legally can and then recharge, because they have to stop and sleep. So that kind of market, I think it's brilliant to do this, because that kind of market is perfect for the electric car platform and strategy, and the way that you have to work with these cars because of the charging of the batteries. Because they'll drive for 10 hours, then they have to take at least, I think it's an hour break or a half hour break, and then they can drive for another 3 or 4 hours. Then they have to take an 8 to 10 hour break. I think it's an 8 hour break. They have to take an 8 hour break. That's perfect. That is exactly the kind of market to get into. So it should be cool to see what they come out with. The last thing I want to touch on is the new Roadster. And it's just kind of a, I've seen a few things. They did announce it, it looks like in 2015, that they would do a new Roadster in 2019. So we still have a couple of years out from that, but that'll be an interesting thing to see, and what kind of design aspects they take from these new cars and how they implement that into the new Roadster. I'm guessing it'll be like Alfa Romeo / Aston Martin / Lexus kind of thing. An amalgamation of that, if you will. So really cool stuff, really interesting stuff that has happened, really cool stuff on the horizon. I'm excited to see what they're going to come up with. I think it was a little bit of a rocky start, but for the most part, they have become what they wanted to. And they're just continuing to grow. They're branching out into different product categories, which we will talk about tomorrow. And I think that as they continue to do this, they'll start to shoot down all the issues that I have, and I know others have, with going all electric. Because there are some issues still that no matter how you go around it, it's not as sunshine and glorious as it seems. It definitely can be. The roadmap that Elon Musk has laid out definitely goes to that. And that's the end result. But as of now, it's not all sunshine and lollipops. Like, just because you get a Tesla doesn't mean you are saving the world. Some of you might be, but we'll talk about that tomorrow with, I think we're going to go into their power offerings for whole home power and getting off the grid, and exactly where you can now get your electricity from. And is that technology really to a place where it can be as productive as we need it to be? It can produce enough electricity to get everything done and keep our lives as normal as possible. So we'll jump into that tomorrow on part 3 of the Tesla Week. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. As always, you can listen to this podcast for free. You can download it for free. You can go to iTunes, subscribe. You can go to SoundCloud, Stitcher, subscribe to it. And it'll automatically, as soon as I upload a new episode, it automatically uploads in your player. And you can download it, stream it, whatever you want to do. It's all for free. Don't charge you a dime. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. At High Tech on Life is our username on all of those. So go to those and check them out. You can also go to hightechonlife.com. We archive the episodes there, so you can stream them from there if you want, if you don't have a podcast player. But really the easiest thing, if anything, on Android or iOS, you can download the SoundCloud app and listen to it for free. Just search for High Tech on Life. We'll pop right up. Also, like, subscribe, and share with those around you if you like our content. It's you guys who spread the word, so keep doing it because it helps us out. Email me, comment on our episodes, comment on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Let us know what you're thinking. We definitely want to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening today, and I will talk to you in part 3 of Tesla Week tomorrow.